29th of October, and we are on the Wednesday night here, and we're studying stress, anxiety, and depression. Several weeks ago, months or so ago, we had the pastor from Africa here, and I got an email sent out to everyone. It's not so much personal, but I'll share it with you for here and in tapes. This is from Stuart. He says, "Dear brethren, we have now settled down, and we had a moving reception both at home and at church on Sunday, 26 October, all nearby branch churches, all the nearby branch churches came to hear our tour report. Believers," this is really, I love this, because this is what's supposed to be. And then we do here, but I mean, it's supposed to be, and I'm sorry that so few churches do it right. "Believers, for the first time, gave us a welcome love offering of assorted things. Chickens, goats, various plates, and so on. And don't bring me goats and chickens and, you know, kill them and cook them first, but this is in this society, this is what they do. It's great. And the message was appreciated, our love for them and our faithfulness to them, and now how confident they had, how confident that they had a shepherd who cares for them. Our memories of the United States of America are nice to remember. We were well received by all of you. And our coming together is of God's making. I want to inform you that we have 7 days, the truck is repaired and the classrooms are completely roofed. And we are now on the dining and dining room area and then move to the guest houses. I believe we shall be set. Set for the rains expected in 2 or 3 weeks time." And then he goes through and just talks about the different things that money was paid for and things that came in, 30 tables for classes, dorms, chairs, mattresses, beds, gas refrigerator, gas stove, all these kinds of things. The funds given will finish the roofing and fix the doors and windows and use some of it to pay some skilled laborers. I will be reporting every stage complete to enlighten you the progress that we are experiencing. Missing you all greatly in His grace, Stuart." And this is just a word from him to let you know what's going on, that he made it home okay. And he wants to get several hundred copies of our little gospel as a pattern, or the spirituality as a pattern from the gospel. So we got to get that to him. Jim, some way we'll pack it all up. Okay. Let's prepare ourselves for our study tonight. We are some really good study, and I appreciate it, and I've appreciated phone call that I received. Person that going through a great deal of depression and things that this section is doing, and I appreciate that. And so let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to why we're here, and the Spirit will just continue to open our eyes to the things that He would have us to see and to hear. Let's pray. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. Last night we saw in our study how you have taken the basic instincts of our fleshly nature and given us a completely new instinct in Christ. And now tonight, Heavenly Father, we see how much you care about when Christians experience stress and anxiety and depression and just don't need to. You provided so many things, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to look at some of these things, Father. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we're looking at things in dealing with, you have stress, anxiety, and depression because you live in Satan's world. And you live under Satan's lie. And the things that bring stress and depression are related to the world. Now, one thing we're going to be doing in the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, I'm going to bring in, and I'm not sure how, when, where, what, a study that we're doing in Jude, because it's very important to this study in dealing with the basic instinct of man, and I don't even want to get into it until I'm ready to present it to you in a way that will help you in regard to stress, anxiety, and depression. But when you live in the flesh, that is what you're. This is what you're going to end up getting, is stress and depression. Now, we have seen, for an example, the 18th thing that God has done for you in Christ was that you are delivered from the powers of darkness. And I hope that I spent enough time, not too much time, not enough in the long run of things, but enough time, because I know that when people, some people experience stress and depression especially, you sense the powers of darkness. And others won't understand that, but in Jesus Christ you are delivered from the powers of darkness. And then the 19th thing we saw was you are free from the law, which means you are free from Satan's lie. And the 20th one was that you have access to God. You are worthy. One of the things that happens to people when they experience a severe depression and things that have happened in their life, maybe their childhood or later in life or in their life, their marriage, a divorce, finance, whatever, you begin to sense the idea that you are unworthy before God. You're not worthy to even have access to God, and we saw that you do. Now what we're looking at is number 21, and we've come a long way, but let's just get into where we are. In Jesus Christ, you are now in the much more care of God, and it is my privilege to pull together several things that I want to cover for you in this study of stress, anxiety, and depression, as well as understanding things that we have in Jesus Christ, to go over a lot of things here. And under this, we started off with the springboard verse being Romans chapter 5, verse 9, much more than, having now been justified by His blood, the work of Christ on the cross, we shall be delivered from the wrath of God through Him. So we are now under the much more care of God. This is what is standing there waiting for you right now, believer. If you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, it is waiting for you in Christ. And we've looked at several things. A, you are the object of His love. You may not feel worthy of it, but you're like that girl who has anorexia. You think this is what you are when you look in the mirror, but it's not. In Christ, people, you are worthy of His love. You're the object of His love. Ephesians 2, 4, and we spent some time there. Secondly, or B, to keep with numbers and the proper outlining, B, you are the object of His grace. You are the object of His grace, Ephesians 2:8 and Romans 5:2. C, you are the object of His power. I tell you right now what I'm hoping to do. I'm trying to get this formulated where I can put out just a little pamphlet. And it may be a very simply edited pamphlet to put this together and get this mailed out and get this in writing. But just take it off of the disc of what I'm doing and see if we can get this done. But let me go on. See, you're the object of His power. Galatians 3:5, Romans 15:13, 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, 1 Corinthians 4:20, Ephesians 3:16-20. We've looked at all of those passages dealing with you are the object of the power of God. D, by much more grace, you are the object of His faithfulness. And this one was what we did last week, and it was so powerful. You are the object of His faithfulness. Hebrews 13:5, Philippians 1:6, 2 Corinthians 3:18, Galatians 3:3 were passages that we looked at. And you've got to understand what His faithfulness is. His faithfulness is that He will make you like Christ. He will take stress, anxiety, and depression away from you if you will let Him. That brings us to point E. Point E tonight. Here's another one that is so important to those who suffer severe stress and depression. And some of you won't understand this. You'll say, that's nice. See, that's what's going to happen to some people when you lay. That's nice. But if you've had severe stress and depression, you deal with a lot of things in life, you'll appreciate the intensity of this one. You're the objects of His peace. The objects of His peace. Until you have reached the point where you're not even looking for happiness, you're not looking for even anything in life, you just, give me a night of peace, Father. You're lying in your bed or lying or sleeping or standing or sitting somewhere at 2 a.m. and you just need inner peace. You'll know what this is about. You have the object of His peace. You know you're really hurting when you pray for this. When you're just your prayer and your hope and your cry to God is just for inner peace. Well, when you're content with who you are in Christ, not with who and what you are in the world, but with who and you are in Christ, you will experience the most wonderful peace that passes understanding, surpasses understanding. It'll be inside your soul. Okay, let's start off with Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful for that peace, but you got to experience it before you be thankful. Okay, Christian, let me tell you something right now that you probably already know. The world does not offer this kind of peace. When you make the decision to live under Satan's lie, under law, under performance, you will not experience this peace. The only peace the world offers is a peace by performance. I feel good. I'm peaceful tonight because I have performed. I have done what I am supposed to do. This is the peace that the world offers. This is not the peace that is being talked about here. The peace that God offers is by faith, not by performance. It's free. It's free. It's gracious. That's all. Just all you have to do is walk by faith in the Holy Spirit who gives peace as a fruit of His works, Galatians 5:22. Now, of course, I just answered it, but look what it says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Question. How do I do this? How do I let the peace of Christ rule? Isn't that interesting? It's got to rule in your hearts. Well, I'm not here to spend a lot of time on this verse, but well, wouldn't you expect to say, let love rule? People, where there is no peace, there's no love. How can you love when you're in turmoil? That's why you want peace to rule. If peace is ruling in your soul, in your heart, in your thinking, then there is the atmosphere, environment for love. So he says, let the peace. Now, the question is, how do you let it? How do you let this peace rule in your soul, in your hearts? Many pastors, preachers have many different answers to the question. They're going to tell you different things. We line up a group of pastors and they all got something else because it's not here in the text. And most preachers are going to come up with the solution of some type of obedience of obey the law. Do good. Don't sin. That's how you have the peace. It's something you've got to do. You produce this peace by doing something or not doing something wrong. Don't sin. If you sin, there's no peace in your heart. So therefore, stop sinning. And you do this. And if you do these things and not do those things. People, let me tell you something. The unbeliever can do those things. The unbeliever can stop making big mistakes. The unbeliever can get his life in order, where he commits very few to what we would call those disruptive type of sins in life. The unbeliever will not do body sins, and not steal, and not rob, and will not slander, will not judge, and will treat his neighbor right, and on and on and on and on. This peace will never come to him. This peace will never come to him. So the unbeliever can do this. What is being talked about here? Please listen to me now. What is being talked about here is a supernatural peace. If you're sitting there listening and you're hurting, and you're in depression, this is a supernatural peace. It defies understanding. It is not something you're going to be able to understand that if I do this, then this will happen. If I'm good, if I'm that, if I hadn't have been raped when I was a child, or if I would just do all of these things, this is a supernatural peace. Peace that the world gives is based on circumstances, performance. If your circumstances or your performance are good, then there's peace. But people, please understand that the peace that God gives is not based on circumstances in your life. You can have this peace no matter what is going on in your life. You can have this peace. No matter what is going on in your life, you can have this peace. In the midst of the most horrible circumstances, you can have this peace. Now, the Bible uses peace in two ways. Let's take a look at them. First of all, the Bible talks about peace with God. Peace with God. Then the Bible talks about peace of God. Peace with God, peace of God. Okay, what's going on? Peace with God is in reference to salvation one, or eternal life salvation. Peace with God is the status of the saved by virtue of faith in Jesus Christ. We refer to this as salvation one. Now, the peace of God is for the believer in this life. We refer to this as salvation two. Very quickly, why do I call them both salvations? Lewis Berry Chafer, in his book, He That Is Spiritual, started my whole journey with pointing this out. If you will view your recovery from sin as a form of salvation, if you will view God doing things for you in your life as a form of deliverance, you're on your journey of understanding, then it's going to have to be totally by God, and that means it's going to have to be totally of grace, and the only thing compatible with grace from man's perspective is our faith. So that's why I call one salvation one, the eternal life salvation. That's when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Salvation two is the Christian life. Now let's take a look at it. Peace with God by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14. Ephesians 2:14. So, I know you're hurting, but take time, open up your Bible. I like you to do that because it changes your mind from thinking about things that are on your mind to start thinking, shifting your mindset to the things that are of God. So open that Bible with me to Ephesians 2. Verse 14, for He Himself, that's Jesus Christ, is our peace, who made both groups, now both groups refers to Jew and Gentile, made both groups into one, the church, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. This peace is yours by simple faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And I hope you see something else here, something we're seeing in our study at our church on the Gospel of John in chapter 11. Here, peace is a person. Do you see that? Peace is not the circumstances of your life. Peace is not the circumstances of your life. Peace is not having been raped when you were a child. Peace is not having your marriage and your life ending up so horribly. That is a peace of circumstances. Look what we have here. Peace is a person. For He Himself is our peace. Peace is a person, not a circumstance. What are we studying? Who you are in Christ. Therefore, if you're in Christ, you're going to experience this peace. Peace is a person. The person of Jesus Christ. Just be who you are in Christ, and you will experience this peace. Now, peace with God by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14. Now, peace of God. Peace of God. The Holy Spirit. Peace with God by Jesus Christ. Peace of God by the Holy Spirit. Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. See, peace with God, Jesus Christ. That He sent His Son. Peace of God, the Holy Spirit. He sent His Holy Spirit. Peace of God. Galatians chapter 5, let's look at verse 22. But the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Is love, joy, peace. And then it goes on to say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. People, this peace is yours. This peace is yours by simple faith in the person of the Holy Spirit. How was the peace of Christ yours at salvation 1 when you were saved? Faith in the one Son of God, Jesus Christ. As you have received Him, therefore walk. How are you going to have the peace of the Holy Spirit? Faith in the Holy Spirit. Same pattern. The gospel pattern. The grace pattern. The system set up by God. Not of works of any kind. Mental, verbal. Just trust Him. So this peace is yours by simple faith in the person of the Holy Spirit. Faith in God. Again, people, this peace is a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit in you, and if you will simply trust and walk by Him in faith, He gives you this peace. Now, but wait a minute. What about my circumstances? What about my deplorable marital condition that produces sad in my life, SAD? My finances that produce SAD? My childhood that produces SAD? What about all of this? We have seen over and over that God does not have to change our circumstances to give us this supernatural peace. And if you're taking notes, if you're hurting and you do write some things down, write this down. God does not have to change the circumstances of your life to give you the supernatural peace. He does not have to go back and undo what was done in the past. He does not have to undo that you were raped as a child, and I'm sorry. But I want to tell you something that's greater than that, and that's what God can do. He does not have to go back and undo the abuse and the neglect and things that happened to you in your childhood or as you grew up. He doesn't have to do that. He's God. He can give you peace without doing that. This is so beautiful. God does not have to change your current circumstances or your past circumstances to give you this supernatural peace. This peace is beyond understanding. But let me tell you something else. This peace is beyond circumstances. This peace is beyond anything on the earth. This is what kind of God He is. I know you don't have it. And I know you hurt. I know you want it. And your mind just keeps bringing up so many other things. And if this hadn't happened, that hadn't happened, well, it happened. Now, are you damned for the rest of your life? No. No. All you have to do is set your mind on Him. Live who you are in Jesus Christ. And He will give you this peace. This peace of God is not by performance, just as your peace with God is not by your performance. See, peace with man is often by performance. You hurt another person, we'll use the word sin. You sin against another person, or you hurt them, you let them down, or whatever it is that you've done to them, your husband, your wife, all of this. We've got to do that. We've got to perform to make it right and bring peace. You got to change. This is what you got to do if you want peace in this marriage. This is what you got to do if you want peace in this relationship and all. This is what you got to do. See, with God, He does everything. He does everything through the work of His Son, through the work of His Spirit. This peace of God is not by your performance, and the only obedience you have to obey for this peace is simply to trust in the one who gives it. That's the Holy Spirit. Just as, what did you do to receive the peace that Jesus Christ gives? Faith in Jesus Christ. What do you do to get the peace that the Holy Spirit gives? Faith in the Holy Spirit. This takes us to a very important passage that we have studied before, but it's time to pull it into this study as we close out our journey. Please go back and open Isaiah 26. This is one of those you want to put on the forehead of your soul. When stress and depression start coming in, Isaiah 26. We won't exegete it. We'll just study it. Read it. Note it. Remind you of some things. Isaiah 26. One of the most beautiful passages in the Bible for a lot of people when they heard. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast mind thou will keep in perfect what? Perfect peace. Why? Because he trusts in thee. People, not circumstances. Not undoing circumstances, changing circumstances, just trusting in him. And then in verse 4, trust in the Lord forever. For in God, forever means under all circumstances. Can I really trust him when things are going so poorly and there is no hope? Yes. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Okay, where does it begin? Where does it begin? The peace is yours, but it starts with your steadfast mind. It starts with your steadfast mind. Getting your mindset. Remember the Adamic mindset? AM, FM? What was AM? AM is Adamic mindset, flesh. You're going to think in the terms of the flesh, performance, Satan's lie, law. Or you can go to FM. What was that? That was faith mindset. The steadfast of mind, the mindset, if you please. Thou will keep in perfect peace. Because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. People, this peace is yours. I know you may not think so. I know you think God's going to have to come in and just change a lot of things. And God's going to have to change your circumstances. And if God would just come in and wave a magic wand. But people, he's done something better than that. He's given you the Holy Spirit inside of you. And all you have to do is to steadfast of mind on who and what Christ is. This peace is yours. It is yours in Christ by grace. And if it is by grace, it is not by your performance, by anything you do or don't do. This is not a peace of the world that comes by confession or repentance. The world knows that kind of peace. This peace comes only through faith. It's graciously given by God. So people, this peace is yours tonight. Regardless of your circumstances, if you will know who you are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, and live who you are in Christ by faith in the Spirit. Brings us to point F. Here's another important one for those that experience stress, anxiety, and depression. You're the objects of His much more comfort. It's very close to the peace, isn't it? Who am I asking that? I'm asking those of you who really experience stress and depression, turmoil in your soul, comfort. Can't even sleep because you can't have that comfort in your soul. It's so heavy. It's very close to peace, but a little different. You're the objects of His much more comfort. Would you please write down and then turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's take a look at that together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's see what God says about this stress and depression and the comfort. Just some inner comfort in my soul. What does God have to say about it? Let's take a look. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself And God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. Now, I know you don't have all these translations in front of you, but let me read and just try to listen with me how the NIV words this verse. Now, so that you'll see where we're going, the New American Standard said eternal comfort. So here's the comfort. It gives us this comfort. Okay, now the NIV says, let me read that to you so you'll have it. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gives us eternal encouragement. Internal encouragement. Okay, here's our eternal comfort, or as the NIV says, eternal encouragement. Let's look at the King James. King James says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation. Consolation. Okay? So we have three different English words translating the Greek word. Three different ones. Wow, what a great thing. Comfort, encouragement, consolation. Wow. See, if you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, this is precious. This is what you take the drugs for. This is what you take alcohol for. This is what you're looking for. There's some comfort, some inner encouragement, consolation inside your soul. And here it is for you. Here it is for you. What do you need when you're depressed? You need comfort, encouragement. Now, what do you get from a lot of Christians who live by law and by Satan's lies, judgment and slander, and you're unworthy to serve God, and you just get the opposite of these things? But let me tell you something from God who loves you. Look at the verse. From God who loves you, look what you get from Him in Christ and who you are in Christ. By the power of the Spirit, this is what He gives. Comfort when comfort's needed. Encouragement when there is no other area of encouragement in your life. This is what He gives. Now, very quickly, the Greek word. I want to tell you something fun about the Greek word. The Greek word here, the root word of this word, is the word used of the Holy Spirit. The word is paraklesis. That's the Greek word. And that's the comfort given by the Holy Spirit. Paraklesis. Now, before we leave this, I've got to share with you a couple of things in this verse that are very simple to see. And even if you're hurting, you'll be able to see this. So let's take a look at it. By the way, I keep saying you're hurting, but you should be starting to come out of all of that now. If you're starting to apply, if you're starting to know who you are in Christ, and we're at point 21 now, and if you're starting to know it and you're believing it, you start living it. The smile should start coming on your face, and who can I help now? Who can I go help? Okay. Before we leave it, I want you to know two very important concepts in this verse. First of all, I want you to note the motivation for this comfort. What's the motivation of this comfort? The motivation of this comfort is His love. Look at the verse. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father who hath loved us. It's from His love. People, especially those of you suffering, please know that God loves you. I don't care what your friends tell you. You're unworthy of love. You're unworthy of salvation. You're unworthy to serve. They don't speak for God. They may claim to speak for God, but they don't. God loves you. Please look at this. This is so important. The motivation is the love of God. In spite of all that you've done, in spite of all that you've gone through, He loves you. And He desires to give you this comfort and this encouragement. It is out of His love. But there's something else here. Giving you this comfort is motivated by His love. But look what it's the last of the verse. It is given on the basis of grace. It is given out of His love. That means it's motivated out of the love of God, for God is love. And it's given on the basis of grace. Look at the end of the verse. What does the end of the verse say? It says, who loved us and has given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. I want that to sink in. It is by grace. Now, why is that important? What does that tell you? It is not by, what is it not by? Performance. It's not by performance. If it's by grace, it's not by performance of any kind. Confession. See, confession is a performance. It's an active verb. Faith is passive. Repentance is an active verb. You're doing something. Feeling sorry. Going and doing something. Not doing something. On and on and on. These are performances. It's not given on that. Look what the text says. All three. By grace. Charis, grace. That's how He gives it. It is given motivated by His love and on the basis of grace. And you know why He does that? Because we don't earn or deserve it. And boy, you love that when you're hurting. Well, I'm glad it's by grace, because just as when I was saved, there wasn't anything I could do to save myself, and anything I could do now to restore myself from the stress and depression. So it's going to have to be. It's the only way it can be is by grace. Because I can't even get up and crawl right now. Well, it's given to you by grace through His love. Grace, what does that grace mean now? No performance. Not because you deserve it. Not because you earned it. Which is what many Christians think who live under Satan's lie. See, they think you earn this comfort, you deserve this comfort by something you do. But according to Jesus Christ, according to God the Father, it's given to you by grace. Not earned, not deserved. That means you can't lose it. It's yours. Please understand and hear me. This grace is yours. This comfort is yours. This encouragement is yours. By His love, by grace. And it is yours. You don't have to change anything tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this on tape, internet, whatever you're doing. It's yours. By His love, through grace. Nothing can take it away from you. And don't let your friends take it away from you. Don't let them take it away from you. It is yours by His grace and love. Now, you may not be experiencing it. Chances are, if you're hurting, you're not experiencing it. Why not? Well, you would answer that because of all the things, and you just don't know how heavy it is tonight. Yes, I do know. Yes, I do know. That's why I'm teaching this series for you. But let me answer you as gently as I can. Why are you not experiencing this, if it's yours freely, of grace and of love? Because you simply refuse to listen to what God says about you, who you are in Christ, and you prefer to listen to what Satan says. What Satan says to you is more real than what God says. And you're sitting there shaking your head, but I want to tell you, that's as simple as it is. And what I want you to do is get back on FM. I want you to get off of AM, quit listening to Satan, quit listening to the world, quit listening to Job's three friends, and start listening to what God says. See, Satan wants you to say, you do not deserve peace and comfort because you're bad. You're a bad person. What happened to you when you were a little girl happened to you because you're a bad person. What happened to you when you were a little boy is because you're a bad person. If you were not a bad person, those things would not have happened. And since you're a bad person, you don't deserve this comfort. That's what Satan wants you to believe, and the flesh nature wants to believe that. What God says is, this peace and comfort are yours through the love of the Father, through His Son. By grace. Just take it. Just experience this peace and comfort. Keep your mind set on Him by faith. If I told you I had a tablet, a drink, a potion, if you'll take this, it'll give you comfort. You take it. That's why a lot of people go to the bartender, go to the liquor store, go to the drugs and get the drugs. Because if I told you that, you'd take it. I'm asking you to do yourself a favor tonight. Not me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Just try God. Just try it. Just try to set your mind, just not try, but set your mind on who you are in Christ. All these things. Just sit down and start reading them. And as you read them, pray through, talk to God. Start trusting God. Start believing what God says about you. Just try it. Give it a try. It ain't going to hurt you. You try other things. Some of you have tried drugs. Some of you have tried psychiatrists and psychologists. Some of you have tried alcohol. Some of you have tried yoga. Some of you have tried running. Okay, that's fine. Try this. Just try it. Try and listen to God. Just try, sit down, stay on FM for a while, go through this list, stay in constant prayer and communication with God in it, and experience the peace and comfort. Keep your mind set on Him by just trusting what He says. Believe what God says, not what Satan says, not what Job's three friends say. Get away from all of that. Get your mind on who and what you are in Christ, please. I want to do one more. I want to do one more. E, or G. This will be G. Remember, we're dealing with the objects of much more here. This one is important. Again, seems like all of these seem to be important to us in our study. That's why I'm studying it. Objects, your objects of His intercession. Ever feel so low and so bad and so wretched? You just couldn't pray? You just weren't worthy to pray? Maybe that you don't even deserve to pray. How can I pray to God? I'm such a bad, dirty person. I'm a wretched person. Well, God knows how you feel. And this is yours. You want to see some beautiful things? Look at Hebrews 7 with me, please. Find the book of Hebrews in your table of content. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. This is beautiful. Chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Let's take a look at it. Hence, also, He, Jesus Christ, he's talking about Christ as a high priest in heaven. Hence also, He is able to save forever. No loss of salvation. Now let's just clear that up. No matter what you've done, what's done to you, what's happened to you, you will not lose your salvation. It's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. Hence also, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him. How do we do that? Faith in Christ. Look what it says now. Since He always lives to make intercession for them. People, not when you deserve it. This passage is not talking about when you deserve it. This passage is talking about, see, it's talking about loss of salvation, which you cannot lose. And boy, when you reach that point, you can't pray. Look who's praying for you. Look who's going to intercession for you. Jesus Christ. This is not when you deserve it, but when you don't deserve it. When according to many believers who live by law and by Satan's lie, you should lose your salvation. You should lose things from God. People, this is when Christ comes to work. This is when Christ says, this is when He goes into intercession on our part. For you. And He does this when you're hurting. Under depression. And you can't even pray. I can't even pray. I don't even know what to pray. I don't feel worthy to pray. Well, Jesus Christ knows and He's making intercession for you. Now, what does that mean? What does that big word mean? This means He's going to God the Father on your behalf. This is what kind of a gracious, loving high priest He is. And I want to give a footnote right now to every Christian. You are a priest. You want to be a priest like Jesus Christ? Instead of coming down on another believer who has failed or things have happened or whatever's going on in their life, you go to them and restore them. You want to be like Christ? He goes to intercession for them. He doesn't condemn them. He goes to intercession for them. This is what He does. Makes intercession for us. Makes intercession for your recovery. What is He going to intercession about? Let's ask that question that way. All right, you want to know? Look at Romans 8. Want to know what He's making intercession to you about? Let's look at Romans 8. There's that great spiritual chapter in the Bible again. Coming off of chapter 7, O wretched man that I am. Chapter 8 answers it. And boy, this has some beautiful things in it. But let's take a look right now. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 33. It gives us a clue of what the intercession's about. Romans 8:33. This is powerful. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are listening to this that are Christians, you make charges against other Christians and you malign and you slander and you judge and you tell them they're unworthy and all of this and they're unworthy to serve and all of this. Who are you to bring charges against God's elect? Because who does bring charges against God's elect? Satan. And he loves doing it. And you're doing his work when you do it. If nothing else, just stand back and say, I'm leaving God's elect alone. Now, who will bring charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Satan. And Christians who live under Satan's rule, they're false teachers, live by law, by Satan's lie. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He, and look what He did, who died in reference to sins. Yes, rather, who was raised. He died in reference to sins, raised to justify us and give us life. Now look what it says. Who is at the right hand of God, and what is He doing at the right hand of God? Who also intercedes for us. Context, when you sin. Context, when you fail. This isn't going there whenever when you're doing really good and God goes, oh boy, look, God, this guy's really great. No, it's when you're failing and hurting like you are in your stress, anxiety, and depression. You don't even know how to pray. Look who's there, right there next to God the Father, right next to the Father. And He's making intercession for you. Okay, you've sinned, you failed, you hurt, people have stayed away from you. Satan goes to God, condemns you, judges you before God, declares that you're unworthy before God. You're unworthy to be saved. You're unworthy to be loved. All these kinds of things. Satan's servants here on earth doing it, including Christians, do the same thing among men that Satan is doing before God. And you're sitting there, your head bowed low. The whole thing's against you. And all of a sudden you hear someone stand up. That's your advocate. That's Jesus Christ. And He stands up to defend you. How about this? Before your friends, you often feel compelled to defend yourself. And then it is really tough when you have no defense. As is the case of Jesus Christ. What's going to be His defense? When the advocate stands up, He's not going to His defense isn't going to be that you didn't sin. His defense is going to be more powerful than that. It's paid for. It's paid for. Look what it says. Christ who died. In your passage. Christ who died. In reference to our sins. Yet rather who was raised. Reference to your defense. Died. Reference to your sins. Raised. Reference to your defense. This is His defense. And oh Christians, this is a wonderful place to be. Innocent before God. Restored before God, defended by the great defense lawyer of all time. Not Perry Mason, not Matlock, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And His defense, there's no loophole in it. It's paid for. Over. Case over. And nowhere He does this. Look what it says. Before God. Higher than all those people judging you. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies? Who is the one who condemns? That's Satan, and Christians doing his work for him. Christ Jesus is he who died. See, that's in reference to your sins. Yet who raised again, that's a defense. Who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession or intercedes for us. Now, before time runs out, I want you to see another very beautiful and powerful and important verse. Look back at Hebrews, this time chapter 9. I didn't go from one to the other on purpose. I want to end with this one in this point. Hebrews 9. I want you to see another one. This is so important. This is so important before God if you're experiencing these things, what Jesus Christ is doing. Well, is there anyone that'll stand up for him? Jesus Christ will. Anyone stand up for you? Jesus Christ will. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. 9:24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands. That's a temple on earth. A mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself. This is the heavenly temple, of which the earthly temple is but a model. And what is he doing in that temple? Now, to appear in the presence of God. Now, why is he appearing in the presence of God? For us. That is to make intercession for us. If you heard tonight from something that happened to you in the past as a child, young girl, young son, by your father, your little girl, maybe by your father, someone you love, somebody that was related or whatever, a young boy. If you're suffering from stress and depression due to this current circumstances in your life and failures and sins, please rest your faith in the person of Christ and what he is doing for you. Trust the Spirit to make these things so real to you. You go to the person, from the event of your circumstances to the person of Jesus Christ. Your circumstances to Jesus Christ. This is what he's doing. If I could look at it this way with you, this comes off of our study. It may not have the same impact with you. But if you go from your current circumstances, where you are now, and what's happened to you in the past, and you go to the event. What is the event? The event is intercession. He makes intercession for us. That's the event. And then you go to the person. The person is Jesus Christ. People, please, find your comfort. Find the confidence that someone is making intercession for you, and that someone is Jesus Christ. Find your peace, your comfort, your encouragement, and your defense, not in your performance. Not in good or bad performance, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, we've seen a number of wonderful things that happen under the much more of God. Now we're going to move to point 22, and we'll do that next week. Let's stop here, and next week we'll begin with point 22 and who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Father, we went through some very important things that people hurt need to understand. The peace, the comfort, and the intercession. There just isn't anything you haven't covered, Father. Because there are times when people just hurt and cry so much they don't even know how to pray. And our Savior, your Son, intercedes. While other Christians are running these believers down, separating from them, your Son stands up for them. And if Christ be for us, who can be against us? The principle being, if Christ is for us, what does it matter who's against us? What an awesome God you are. And now, Father, I pray that you have given us this information in the Bible and given us this information here, that your divine Spirit will make these things, get this into the hands of those who will listen and who will make an impact in their lives. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.